this is your place. This is where you'll serve America best. Your future's in the sky. You see, the way the Air Force Reserves feel about it, they're fighting and they're flying for the safety of our people at home, our mothers and fathers and our sisters and brothers. America will have overwhelming superiority in the air.
So, Colonel Gormley, we are starting our very first podcast.
Welcome. Welcome to the first Oki podcast. This first podcast, what we want to do really is introduce ourselves. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Just kind of tell you a little about us, our backgrounds. We don't get the chance to come into every unit, because there are so, not just many units, but there's so many rooms, and our members are scattered throughout the base. The 72nd APS is on the other side.
Right.
The security forces are right down the road, but it's in a little secret compound that nobody knows about. And then you got medical. So really, our intent in doing this was to bring perhaps us and our guests throughout the next few podcasts a little closer to the members.
Yeah,
and you brought up a great point about traveling as they're coming in, right?
Yeah, I think it's really important when you have that extra space and time. It takes me about an hour to take a flight from St. Louis to Oklahoma City. During that time, it's perfect opportunity to listen to a podcast. Maybe I'm driving in from Edmond, or maybe folks are coming in from Lawton, and I think that's an opportunity they can just turn on the podcast, listen in on, hopefully, wisdom. We don't know yet, but it'll be a good opportunity to connect with them. Really, it's that casual conversation that we're trying to have with our airmen, right? Okay. And we've talked about it in another podcast before, the Tinker Talk, where we just want to connect. So that being said, do you want to go ahead and just kick off, kind of tell us who you are?
You bet.
Background, where you're from?
So I've been in the Air Force 25 years. Never thought I'd be saying that. I am now one of those old guys that I never thought I'd become. Mm-hmm. I remember as a brand new second lieutenant, I was casual status in Turkey, and I remember going in to my OG's office, Operations Group Commander's office, and I literally couldn't talk. I was stuttering. He was just this massive entity behind the desk. And to think that I'm the old guy now sitting behind the desk it's a little scary. That's a little scary. Because what that means really is I only have a few more years to go. Time is slowly coming to a close for me and my family. But I was raised both in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, East Tennessee, Knoxville, and overseas in Vienna, Austria. My dad worked for the United Nations. He's a nuclear physicist with the International Atomic Energy Agency. So between Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which is where the Manhattan Project took place, and Vienna, we would move back and forth a lot growing up. My brother married an Austrian girl, and they have two kids that live downtown Vienna. My parents still live there, so we have a lot of ties to Vienna. But if someone were to ask me where home, Oak Ridge, Tennessee is home for me. Graduated high school in Oak Ridge, and then, so basically Oak Ridge is Knoxville, University of Tennessee. Graduated high school and went to University of Alabama, where I lost a lot of friends because that's SEC territory, and we happened to win the national championship that year that I was there, so lost even more friends when we did that, and I was like, okay, my work is done here. What's one of the most challenging, what's probably one of the worst, I say that with very, I say that respectfully, what's one of the worst football teams out there? It was the Air Force Academy, so went there. I brought the game up. We did really well while I was there, the 4 years I was there. I graduated in 99 from the Air Force Academy, went to Turkey for a year waiting for pilot training. So I did casual status in Incirlik, Turkey, where I learned a ton. Went to pilot training and got KC-135s to McConnell. Spent 3 to 4 years there. I met my wife. We got married there. Then went to Mildenhall, had our first daughter. We were there about 3 or 4 years. Then we went to Andrews, where I got out, and had our second child in Andrews in the D.C. area. And then I decided to join the reserve. So I joined the 756 Air Refueling Squadron, which is a KC-135 squadron there, in Andrews, while I began teaching. Long story, it's probably a multiple podcast worth of content, but how I got involved at the Defense Acquisition University, where I started teaching in my civilian side. So flying in the reserve at Andrews, teaching at DAU for about 9 years, After while I was teaching, I went from flying 135s to the Pentagon. I did a tour of the Pentagon. Came home one day, and my wife just said, "Hey, we've been here 10 years in DC. It's too much. Traffic is crazy. I went out." And I said, "Okay, I'll get back to you tomorrow." The next day, I came home. She literally sold the house to our next door neighbor, who had some friends that wanted the home, and we ended up moving to Wichita, Kansas, which is where our home is now. About in 2017. Where I started flying the KC-46s, became the operations group commander there in McConnell, and we came down here, and I took the vice wing, now I'm the commander, and incredibly happy here. And we'll be here probably through next June of 25, gosh, time's flying.
Wow.
So, yep, that was a little more in the 2 minutes that we agreed
to. So because you took 5 minutes, I only have 60 seconds to tell my life story, but no, but... You know this, but growing up in Scotland, right? Or born there, families there. You know, I like to throw that in there because most people can't say they're from Scotland, and it's quite nice. And I'm a pretty decent golfer, I guess. Yes?
We just got back from the TUI in Scotland, and we played with a Scottish dude, and he actually looked at him and said, "Yes. He looks Scottish, and he plays golf well. He's got to be Scottish."
Yeah, which was a very big compliment for me because that's somebody cool. actually recognized... Some of that.
Your red hair?
Yeah, some of that in me. So it's really good. One of the downsides with having red hair, by the way, is I have to use 50 SPF in the sun at all times, completely burned. But going back to my story, taking more of my 60 seconds. Going back to my story, you know, joined the Air Force when I was 17. To be honest with you, my family didn't have any money growing up. The only option was the military. And my dad sat me down at the kitchen table and he said, "You're not going to the Army, you're not going to the Marines, and you're not going to the Navy." So I said, "Okay, what's my next option?" He goes, "If you want to do the service, it's the Air Force." Mm-hmm. I said, "All right, sign me up." And I went to MEPS, and they wanted to put me in aircraft engine mechanic. And I thought, "I'm not doing that. I want to be a security forces member." I want to, because the poster on the wall, and it was a silhouette of a security forces airman with a machine gun.
On the flight line or something?
On the flight line in front of one of the bombers. And I thought, that's exactly what I want to do. And sure enough, went and did that, 10 years of active duty. Did some time in England, some time in Montana. That's when I met my wife. Oddly enough, when I went back home to visit, I met my wife, which was great. And so we're both from the same area in Marion, Illinois. Left active duty and was trying to figure out my life at that point. Became an Air Reserve technician there at Scott Air Force Base.
Gotcha.
And as I'm just kind of working through that with the Inspector General's office, being a logistics professional, it was an opportunity to go down to the Force Generation Center at Robbins to really, in my opinion, dive into the deep end of the pool because... You know, you're getting out of your comfort zone, away from your home base, if you will, and the people that you know, and you really test your leadership, to be honest with you. And then survived that, you know, that time in my life, and was picked up here at the 507th as a command chief. And to be fair, one of my biggest dreams in the Air Force to be able to serve in this type of position and serve airmen. So it's been it's been really good, and so far so good. I hope. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
That's the next podcast. Grades will be given next podcast.
Yeah, great. Yeah. How to fire a command chief is the title of our next podcast. Great. Thanks. But that's just a little bit about me and kind of how, you know, my path has been directed here to the 507th. And obviously being on your team has been pretty amazing.
Just to kind of wrap up why we did the backgrounds, just for the members of the 507th to understand who we are, where we come from, our backgrounds. And I'm almost certain they're very similar to your backgrounds, to our members. You know, they grew up in the same areas of the United States, probably a lot of the same types of stories. But we'd also like to do in future podcasts is bring in some of their leadership and introduce them to the wing and get their perspectives, what they did and how they got to where they you kind of agree with what I'm...
Yeah, actually, it's a great transition, by the way. I don't know if you knew you were doing this or not, but it's a perfect transition into basically just the general topics that we're going to be delivering over the next several months, for sure. And one of them was Spotlight on Airmen. And for those that are listening and actually viewing, we had a chance to go to, what was it called, the Silver Squadron Okie Reunion.
Right.
And I got to meet a guy named Bob Kellington, who used to be a former command chief here at the 507th. So it'll be people like him that we bring in and just ask them, what was it like to be a command chief back in the 90s? You know, how did the airmen interact? How did you motivate them? How did you inspire them? So to your point, we're going to have a lot of really great, I hope, guests, you know, and spotlight on airmen within the wing as well.
And just that Oak reunion, that just happened, only occurred a couple weeks ago. And we don't get to talk about that reunion that often because our TRs aren't here very often. But this podcast gives us the opportunity to tell you that the folks that came before you, there is a class act of hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of people that came before you that are looking at you and just as this is a fact and how proud they are of the Okies and what you stand for right now. But remember, we're standing on their shoulders. They began this unit and they're so proud of it. We took those members to different units and I had one it was F4 pilot and his wife come up to me after they saw our minute and a half kind of that intro that we do in commander's calls, and he had tears in his eyes because he saw that how much we love this unit, and he saw in that if you remember the video, we kind of do a comparison side by side with, you know, security forces now and security forces then, air crew then and air crew now, and he saw his friends and he cared so much about the unit and he saw that we cared about the history. So anyway, just a little something I wanted to mention to everyone, because it does matter that you come from a really long line of neat people.
Right, and that's what leads us into the another topic that we may be discussing as well, which is Reserve Mission Insights. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to do deep dives into various missions within the Okie community here, the 507th.
You bet.
Because maybe someone in MSG doesn't know what goes on in ops. So we'll try to cross-flow that information and then get some interest. And that's just another way we can connect.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think about this, but if there are topics that our members want us to hit, to mention, to talk about, we just need to know that.
Right.
And it really is a simple phone call to the front office, or if you talk to your supervisor, whether it's deployments, whether it's are we getting more KC-135s, or where's the KC-46, so do we play a part in that, or the deployments, or F4Gen, or the standards that General Alvin, the CSAF, is currently pushing. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, and we would love to get your thoughts if there are topics that we're maybe missing or we need to add.
Yeah, one of the hardest groups of people within our reserve family to reach out to and connect with are those spouses and children that are at home, right? You know, we don't have an opportunity because they don't get to come to drill or commute in. So podcast is going to give us an opportunity to talk about family support, which I think is going to be a huge benefit and a huge bridge to keep families engaged that can't be here all the time, similar to us when we're in the grind every day with the UTA. Professional development, kind of near and dear to my heart. That's another topic we're going to talk about here in our podcast. This could vary, right? We could be talking about a certain topic about leadership, or a certain topic about followership or servanthood, or maybe one of the airman leadership qualities and kind of how that played out in our careers and how it's helped us either be successful or help with the team.
Right.
So that'll be a good topic we can engage with. We could talk about the open positions, kind of the things about cross-training opportunities, because the Air Force Reserve Command right now, we have a lot of priorities, but it's recruiting, but also retention. And sometimes people find a job that they just don't really seem to fit in. This will be an opportunity we can discuss some of those opportunities that are happening in our wing for anybody who's listening, whether they're assigned here or assigned somewhere else.
Gotcha.
So
great
way to engage.
The 507th's community engagement and how we reach out to the community, and personally, I don't think we do it enough. I want the 507th to be one of, when they think Tinker, the 507th, it just rolls off the tip of their tongue.
Right.
We are the Okies.
Every time I think about, as we ramp into drill, how much I really do love this place because of what you talked about. We are the Okies. The culture, the folks that were at the Silver Squadron, when I got to meet them and they paved the way for us. Yep. What a great community. Mm-hmm. What a great time. And I'm hoping that this podcast will be a part of that DNA here.
I think for the first podcast, we've done a good job, I hope, at explaining what our intentions are. Definitely want to introduce ourselves because I don't think we get to see or talk to everyone nearly as much as we want to. Because just like them, when they come to their offices during a UTA, you're inundated with training and all the to-do items, because you have 16 hours. 8 days, 8 hours on a Saturday and 8 hours on a Sunday. When you start looking, you know, that time kind of narrows down. So there's not a ton of time. So hopefully this podcast will give them the benefit of not just meeting members of the Oki family, but a little about what's in front of us, you know, and where we intend to go.
Well, this is going to be a fun journey. I look forward to it.
Yep, I agree. I agree. Right. It's been great.
All right.
See you next time.
Let's do it.
War we're fighting today and tomorrow and the next day until we win is a war of the air.